T. F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble.
M is for
Montreal.
Follow the previously broadcast program.
There is this thing going on.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Air, right here on CTNT 93FM. We are 11 days into the month of November. We are broadcasting from Mohawk, MMA territory. You are tuned into the Avalanche, a special presentation of CTNT's community department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues of those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zo. On today's show, audio from the newest episode of Crypto Corner. This episode is hosted by Gift Chuma, and the topic is the recent American federal election. All that and more right here on CTNT 93FM. You are listening to the Avalanche. We're all abilities are welcome. If you'd like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 6070, or email news@cttu.ca.
COVID-19 is at a critical level in your area or a neighboring region.
Getting together with family or friends is prohibited, and traveling to other regions is not recommended.
More targeted restrictions have been put into place to limit the spread and prevent a lockdown.
Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus.
Continue to wash your hands, keep a 2-meter distance, and wear a mask when physical distancing is impossible.
We need to act now.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome back to the Avalanche on CQT 93.3 FM. On today's show, audio from the latest episode of Crypto Corner. The show is hosted by Amy Lowe and Gift Zuma, and this episode is about the movement and the recent American federal election. That's up now.
Hello everyone. We are back. It's been a long time, hot minute. It's good to be back, and this time we brought some friends along. So my name is Gift, and this is my friend and co-host, Amy.
Great to be back. Too long. It's been far too long. And we're really thrilled to have our special guest here tonight. Folks, they're going to introduce themselves, but first I want to thank everybody for taking the time to talk to us today. to dream and discuss and lay down some business about the theme of movement. So we have Barak Abisolay, who's joining us from Chicago.
Leroy, from Berkeley Valley Studies, we connected through social media over the past few years, so full nerd alert here, but yeah, that was a pretty long time ago, which is, but your name is, you know, we, when you have names that are not common, it's easy to remember people. But yeah, my name is Jennifer Hoffa, I currently identify as Woman Studies Canada, I'm a queer black fat femme, who's also spooning, mental and physical chronic issues, and I'm also someone who has dabbled a lot in writing. I'm practicing piano or singing, although I have performed at our local pride in Montreal, born and raised in Jage, in traditional Ganagana territory, and I still live here to this day, and I'm very excited to have a chat with all of you tonight.
Acknowledgement also the communities in Canada that have taught me around, and as we said, I reside in the territories of the Council of Three Fires, among others. I'm going to acknowledge Ojibwe and the Ottawa, and the Potawatomi people, among those, and really just in terms of being in Chicago and the unceded land, I'm looking to be respectful of the land and the people relationship that has come forth, and the ongoing ways in which Indigenous people and in some parts of states referred to as Native people,
the ways in which we continue to honor and take care of the land.
So I want to offer that. The other way I want to offer acknowledgement is in acknowledging that at a point in time that I use the term crip, acknowledgement, and I drew that term particularly from Leroy's UK crip. So I want to give a shout out to Leroy for also bringing in the politics of the K into crip. Acknowledging that we are in crip talk corner, hashtag crip talk corner, that there are ways in which we can be crip and crip identified politically and otherwise.
I acknowledge that also the C of RIP
It's not just tied to a linear, but also acknowledging being a part of the world where there is crisp gang folk, and it is very tangible also in my legacy of my family.
So I acknowledge all the crispness and acknowledge that it is all the complexity.
I am a black queer, multi-disabled individual. I am large-bodied, fat, friendly, and loving of myself. I'm wearing a lilac sweatshirt, clean glasses, a salt and pepper beard, and a shaved head.
I am in an apartment which includes, in the background,
some shelving units with a figurine from Django.
That is prominently displayed.
I've been a part of the contemporary arts scene for 30 years.
It'll be actually 30 years.
Officially next year, in 2021, I've been a part of the arts scene, and have first entered into understanding aging of Canadians.
And actually Montreal.
So that was my first experience, actually, to know.
Canada, I can talk more about that later.
Yes.
Very memorable 10 days that I got to meet there. So, Gift has some fabulous icebreakers since. We know some of you, beginning of dinner party this evening, so, thank you. I thought that just before we dive into discussion, just to get to know each other a little bit more in a casual way.
So I just have a few icebreakers here that if you would like to participate in. I am curious who would be your dinner guest if you had to choose one.
Can it be historic?
There's no limit. It could even be a fictional character. Anything. And why, of course.
I mean, I'm going to say someone else, but I'm going to stick with one person for now, and that person I think is Audrey Lorde. Audrey Lorde is someone that I would have loved to meet. Our lives are very different in lots of ways, but also very similar. Her parents came to the Caribbean and immigrated. Well, her parents came to Canada. But she's a person who has put in the words, experience of being othered in so many spaces, whether as a lesbian, whether as a person of disability, whether as a black person, living in the US, but also in Mexico. This also someone's written about getting older. And the reason why I love her is not because she wrote so amazing things that I relate to, and someone that reminds me at least weekly, if not daily, that self-care is important, and that we need to dismantle all the systems. But I would like to know how does she do if it happens, right? How does she, because I feel like I know a lot about her in the ways that she's told about us, through her poetry, through her essays. But there's something I would like to just be like. So how do you cook? And what kind of spices do you use? And what have you learned from living in so many spaces? But also, how do you find happiness in all those spaces that we're othered, but also spaces that are super important for us to be in? So, othering is a person I would love to meet.
Awesome. Thank you.
I think it's too hard to point. But I think critics may feel mine. How do you deal with disabled people, and his last album is just amazing, and how do you deal with being disabled, and coming into politics and being disabled. You took Christopher Reeve, and he was like on it, to become active, at least on how he was in the music industry way before the internet, so out there, I came close, I was talking to one of his sons. You know, hip hop did a remix of a couple of songs. So we wanted to get that past, never got a past family, but yeah.
I'm also going to say, I think this question is not just for the guests. So, Jeff and Amy, this question is also for you all, right?
Sure, of course.
We're all in this popcorn together, right?
Yeah, all right.
So, some first have to begin by acknowledging that the first person comes to mind. is my mother, who would be alive for me to have been with, who I would for, and reflect back to her ways in which she has found me, giving me such gifts, love, and life, and understanding sexuality before it was coined a term, and ways of being that I think are also very crypt. ultimately, very queer for me. So I would say that would be, of course, my first and foremost thought, because she would be right now. And I also acknowledge, I appreciate that. And I have to be honest, I don't have one person because I'm multiple. multiple folks at the table. Particularly Octavia Butler would be a person I would be extremely honored to be present with. And also not asking her to continue to have to produce anything, but just be with her, and again, cooking for her, and just being with her for a moment, because what she put into the world is life. It's transformative ways of thinking, radically imagining the ways in which black folks are being in the world and how we're imagining and how we need to change. And so it would be Octavia Butler, and I have to say that I would then have to also have Harriet Tubman show up. Like this, I feel like that's the triumvirate that would have to be, and I would just be like, that'd be it, I'd be done after that. So yes, that would be one hell of a dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you cook?
I think that, and I think that's where the start of green, because greens have been such a story and narrative that I have charted, and carrying forward the notion of, you know, I would have brought everything, probably some things, probably some variation of fried chicken.
Yeah, all the negritude. Amazing.
That's amazing.
So I spent the last five months with my mom. And so my answer is like family based. I think I would invite my grandma on my mom's side because I was close with her when I was a kid, but. I just find there's so many connections in how my mom acts now and then how I act when I'm with her that I would like to have a chance to talk to her as an adult. I remember when I was, I don't know, maybe in elementary school sometime we had an interview about a relative, and so it was like my first interview, I think, ever. And I interned, I found out stuff about her life in World War II, she was British, and then she moved to Canada, like World War II ended, and I don't know, I'm really interested in my history and lineage and stuff. Yeah, so it's important, just like knowing where I come from, but also knowing how I relate to where I live, and the different ways that my personal history has been impacted by who my ancestors are and stuff. So that's one side, and then she also had like extreme fat saps. I feel like that's something that's translated, so I think it would be a blast to have her and joke around and she definitely had a feminist streak while keeping my grandma satisfied and feeling like in charge. and I remember observing that, finding it interesting how they interacted, and I find that I have a lot more I guess like, or maybe it's or just religion, but I feel like I have control over my life, and so to find out more about that was really cool. That's it.
Nice. Wow.
This is a hard question.
I know. I have so many, but I think one I'd really love to dinner with Martin Luther King Jr. The reason being is because I'm spiritual Christian as well. And also have involved in activism. And I'd be really curious to learn how he was able to balance the pressures of the church and also the pressures of the activism community as well. Because they tend not to always see eye to eye on certain movements. So I'd be really curious how he was able to navigate both of those worlds and also trying to keep unity at the same time. Martin Luther King Jr. For me. All right.
I think we're good. Unless you guys have other questions that you're curious to ask Amy and I.
No, we're good.
So today we're talking about movement and we all move through space and people and ideas and our voices. All sorts of different things. So we wanted to kind of pick up on asking you what comes to mind when you think the word movement, what do you picture or what do you feel when we say movement? For me, it's like different things like just feeling around fast, getting a lot of joy, and then also feeling like I don't necessarily like the word in relation to social movements because I found that it can be quite constricting, or there can be a lot of pressure associated with it. So I think of it more in terms of freedom, mobility, and that sort of thing. Love to hear what you think.
Black, 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 black,
But you know, the dancing white body is police. So, movement in an artistic way to shift politics.
You like dancing, right?
So movement is essence and being. I think of that in the context of a contemporary artist who has largely been part of the dance scene. for a while, recognizing our actually not at all invested in the consequence of dance, more so in articulation of our bodies, and this movement has been articulated by those who are not within the dance movement, because dance movement has largely been articulated in this part of the world, specifically ableist, deeply elitist, and not at all inclusive. So I was a part of that movement for a while, and it reminded me spiritually, emotionally, physically that that movement was never really built for my body. And that actually the way I was already moving when I was moving in the child, moving in social dances with my family, that was a movement that really was a thing that I drew upon. And then as we began to begin to articulate oneself through space, and acknowledging, looking at, and recognizing the details, the minutia, the small movements that are actually quite powerful. And that allows every person the opportunity to move in their own being. Like that is movement. And so I look to those, the act of me having done things like a sense of stairs, a wheelchair, or things like that, as movement that calls to mind how people need to be conscious and make appearance in our deeply problematic ways of navigating the world. And in relation to my work, the reason why I first called my network artist that I developed the project with called the Underbelly is in reference to the slave ship. So I've learned to acknowledge a deep profound movement that moved people that I know, and ancestrally, a part of me is the migration of black bodies through the Middle Passage as one of the greatest and most profoundly movement that has shaped this part of the world in relation to the underbelly. So in my work, the underbelly, I'm constantly seeking to acknowledge how that continues to inform how I move, and am moved by the ways of being in the world.
I mean, really, really resonated with the way I see water, the way I see movement, the way I see water falls. It's the way that collectively sprung, and it's my theme, like tiny, tiny movements, like drop of water, but if all those drops of water together on one thing, we actually make sculptures. And that's the way I see it. As someone who's always never quite sure if I should be joining this one or that one, like technically I fit with so many. And also someone who believes in the collective power of doing things. So a few years ago, I was part of people who started a queer and trans Black Indigenous People of Color Heart Festival in Montreal. And we did this because we were not seeing each other, really corporate pride, and the ways that people of color communities are really centered around immigration, our migration kind of discourses were also established as mostly second generation, third or fourth generation, people of color still living here, but always being told that we're not from here. And for me, the way I see it is that we came together. We ate together, and then we decided together we're going to work towards this point. And we're going to show that we existed. And maybe sometimes those movements create hurricanes and things that are not so pleasant. But sometimes we create beautiful things like waterfalls, like rainbows. And for me, that's how I see movement. And I see that also movement. And for me, it's collective, individual, because one person alone cannot really be guided or leading something in one direction. Collectively, we do that, but also collectively we have a better impact because we all have those different skills, right? Of dancing, of creating, of feeding people, of creating beautiful Excel tasks to make sure everything is perfect. But also just people where their work to walk and listen, and make sure to space is, you know, in so many different ways for the varieties of our queer and trans Black Indigenous and person of color. That's how I see movement.
Wow! Thank you for sharing. It could be through creativity, through community gathering, and community gathering, and yeah, that's how I see movement, or it could be a musical expression, the way music plays a part in you, whether it's a healing process or it's a way to express your emotions, so that's how I perceive movement.
I just want to point out that I know that movement in Leroy's background, but I also want to acknowledge that we have a visual who's in the background that's being recorded and will be broadcast if Leroy, your nephew, knows where and they broadcast, you know, for, and we have a permission because I would not want my body to necessarily be somewhere on someone's virtual space and I don't know that.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to, and I so appreciate the conversation, the movement, and that stillness is also movement. Just say stillness, recognizing that, you know, we sometimes think of movement as a particular thing or a particular way of life, a kinetic thing, that is a particular way of looking at perceiving it, but stillness is movement. Stillness in the ways in which activists boundly held their bodies in space is a movement. Disabled bodies saying actually rest is a movement. Resisting the notion that we have to be in some sort of productive mode or have to move in a particular way. That for me, I think, is one of the profound movements, is when we're able to allow ourselves to not think that we have to be caught up in the kinetic life or the kinetic ableist way of being, that we actually take a moment to hold still and be. That for me is a profound movement. So I just want to kind of put that out there because, you know, it's a movement kind of happening a certain way, but actually going this moment of stillness, actually. profound way of thinking about movement as well.
Yeah.
I mean, existing is persistent, right? Especially as marginalized bodies, as marginalized people, as marginalized minds. Just the fact that we're alive is being alive, in a lot of ways, but it's actually existing, and resisting is movement. Staying alive, you know, being like this, all of those things. Makes us and makes the world around us in ways. That I think sometimes we don't realize, but are very important.
And yes, I love the NAP ministry, which is a very popular Instagram and Twitter account.
Which really recommends rest and napping as a way of healing our bodies and our minds.
What you said about us resting or staying still, and then requiring the world around us to move in a certain way. I guess I'm less aware of how I'm perceived now because I just pay less attention to it, but it's definitely something that. You know, going to a spot with a few people who use mobility aids or service dogs, it's a thing. It's like an event, you know, and even the act of gathering is a mobilization in a way, and even the process of getting where we want to meet and to be in the same space with each other, especially now, it's like.
Undertaking, you know. Thank you for sharing. I'm curious as to how does movement play into your daily lives? Personally.
Yes.
I could start. It's like everything, I dance in the morning, and then I do other stuff, usually on the computer. And then my day is based on when I go outside and wheel around or walk around. Sometimes it's frustrating how much of a consideration it is. In the summer, like you're talking about the winter before we started recording, at that point it's a huge preoccupation. So those are like the really practical ways. I want to move the way they think, mostly, myself included, so often I'm just playing with words and numbering them around to see what they do for me and testing them out on other people and seeing how they move people to think or feel things too, so everything.
Pretty much. No big deal. I really like what you said about how movement is used as a thing. Like, for example, with my case, I'm an artist for some of you. I sing and I write music songs, and I very much have a creative mind, and I wake up listening to music, I go to music, and I turn into music, I write as I'm going through that feeling. And something that's really interesting is when I have a, dream and I'm singing, I wake up and start singing the song out loud, forget it in the morning. so that I can record it quickly on my phone. Even in my most relaxed state. My musical creative side is still moving. And yeah.
And I think we don't think about a creative mind, like something that's part of our movement. I feel like I think of myself as movement, and it's really interesting. The confinement has made me a lot more aware of the movement I get or do not get in my personal life. Going around, going on my bike, and things like that, these digital homework, basically, going off for walks, going on my balcony, to smell the fresh air, and really important to me, also thinking about ways of using my brain, and friends, doing those silly games on my phone, like 2048 numbers, I actually spent Friday and Saturday night doing online jeopardy with a bunch of nerds, mostly Montreal and Quebec, but also people in the US and Quebec. And so just like different ways of using my brain and different ways of thinking about myself and my role in society, my family, and my friends, and my friends, and my role in my day-to-day life, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my business, and my role in my life, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, and my role in my family, and my role in my job, 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 and
So, I think most of what I think about movement is pushing what I want to see out there in the world. So I consider that movement.
Leroy, I like seeing your fight in person, like seeing photos and so much. It's my car, really. But like what you said about movement being about
gathering people or bringing together to do that, that needs to be sure. And I would say like something that I find in Canada is that I've noticed, and I think we know collectively that most of the black people who have been killed by the police are actually people with disabilities, autism, mental health, and related. And yet we never hear disability or condition talking about how race is actually an important factor. And also are not necessarily being part or co-conspirators of movements like Black Lives Matter. And something that I've been trying to do in small ways through my work. Is to make sure that we advocate that kind of situation, not just because it's happening in the U.S., but also happening here. There's been so many cases of Black and Indigenous persons with mental health on the autism spectrum who have been killed by the different police. Core across the country. We have a really good idea about Ontario. We have some good numbers. We know what's happening a little bit in Maritime, other places it's not so clear. And at the same time, I find that's also part of movement, right? It's also to just collectively make sure that How do we become conspirators? How do we make sure that we elevate the voices and experiences of the people that often forget in our own movement? And so for me, that's also something I'm trying to do, but it's also very hard. Because there's a good kind of disabled people, middle class, white, listen, respectable, and then there's the other people. The ones that people often don't care about. So I would say that's something that I care about around movement. So I think it's important for me as a person, in my day-to-day and not just in a work context, but also in a personal context of making sure what I can do to support women now in communities where I'm marginalized, but also how can I become a co-conspirator?
I mean, I think in the context of thinking about movement as part of the everyday, recognizing that it is a particular moment, heightened perhaps, but consistent, that the movement I think about is about police and they're moving against certain bodies. And so I recognize that even as far as a siren in my background, because of where I'm located. So I'm reminded of the presence consistently where I live, of our bodies, which for me calls into question how I move through my everyday life. It is always present. So I think about that. I'm reminded of sonic evidence, sonic ways of thinking that we are in movement. When I wake up, I'm in movement, and because my windows open, I'm reminded of cars, I'm reminded of movement, of police, I'm reminded of bodies that have been injured in space. That is so sonic sonically, that is what I'm drawn into every day.
In terms of notion movement.
That there are others moving, even as I'm resting.
That the siren is happening.
And is a place of perhaps triggering alarms or potential death, state security.
I am not in that same movement.
As those who are existing in that movement.
So these things collide.
And they push against each other.
And they're juxtaposed.
So I think of my movement as never being one of myself moving necessarily, but the ways in which it shows up.
Evident in my ways of being in my apartment.
I am in a neighborhood that has been impacted by looting.
It is literally, there was a particular incident that occurred which caused a movement.
That actually occurred, and this happened at like 3 a.m. or something.
I didn't know what was happening, but all of a sudden there were certain loud voices, which is about people who actually had transitioned from one part of downtown Chicago to another, who passed down my block.
To the Walgreens pharmacy, which is right almost 100 feet from where I am.
So I am evidence of the movement of those folks, not knowing that happened, only the day that occurred.
The movement that occurred from someone. Doing something in a part of Chicago not far from where I live.
Police then shooting this individual, which created a movement.
Not necessarily the right kind of movement, because someone then said, oh, they shot a child.
So then that caused from the south side, where mostly black people, to the north side, to where the Macy's and the Bloomingdale's, all those stores.
They moved down to that area and then began looting.
That's the movement that I recognize as part of my everyday sensation.
I have to acknowledge those movements more so even in my own way of moving.
And to counter that, yes, I meditate, but I think in terms of giving, we talked about every day, that right now is the everyday.
That is what I'm in, and those movements and the residue of those movements.
You were just listening to part of an episode of Crypto Corner on the subject of movement. If you would like to listen to the remainder of the episode, you can go to the Accessible Lives Montreal Facebook page or check out the link we posted on Twitter,
which is at AvalanCQT.
And that concludes this episode of the Avalanche. Airing every Wednesday from 5 to 6. To stay up to date with Avalanche news, you can check out our Twitter at AvalanCQT. Thank you to all those who make education and inspiration here at CQT possible. If you would like more information on anything you heard tonight, or would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact the Avalanche at AvalanceCQT.ca or CQT's News Department. At 514-484-4141, extension 67 or email news at CQT.ca.
Stay tuned for her sake. That's up next.
We'll be right back. My name is Mycelium, and you're listening to Audio Smut on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's about 6 p.m. here in Montreal, and I'm gathered here today with Amanda Monti, poet based in New York, who is going to share with us their wicked little games.
The world was on fire, and no one could save me but you. Strange what desire will make foolish people do. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No, I don't wanna fall in love. No, way.